Me and a childhood friend of mine, I'll call him Ethan, were out in the forests of Maine on a short camping trip. We both were fairly experienced. However, this was Ethan's first time going to this spot. I'd been there plenty of times before, though, so I knew the area pretty well. We backpacked down a several-hour-long trail to get to a clearing in the trees that we set up camp in. I think we arrived around 6, so after setting everything up, we built up a nice campfire and made food, then cracked open a few beers and talked around the fire as the sun set around us. It was a chill, enjoyable night. I want to say around 2 hours into the night, though, we both heard what we thought was something moving around just outside of our campsite, like in the darkness, past what our campfire was lighting up. We looked and saw nothing, and for the rest of the night, we heard nothing else. We thought it was probably just a small animal scurrying away. Honestly, if nothing else happened, I never even would have remembered it or thought about it again. That's how insignificant it seemed in the moment. If you're unfamiliar with camping, it might seem strange, but being out here all the time, those kinds of noises happen a lot and are almost always nothing to worry about. Once we had our couple drinks and started getting tired, we called it a night and poured out the fire, then got in our tents and fell asleep. In the morning, we woke up early, as this spot was good for a reason. That reason is because there was a very secluded, private pond just a half mile through the woods from the campsite. Nobody knew about it because the trail didn't actually lead to it. It was really nice, though, having a mini waterfall and small river running through it. We spent most of our morning there, like a whole 3 or 4 hours. Eventually, we headed back to make food and rest for a bit. I even took a short nap. Again, though, around 6, the sun was getting lower, and we hadn't collected any firewood yet for the campfire. Most of the dry sticks lying around the camp we used up last night, so I had to do a little more searching to collect what we needed. Midway through, Ethan said he was going to take a walk around and just explore the other areas, but would pick up whatever he could on his way back. I said sure, and just continued grabbing sticks off the ground. Ethan did this pretty much every time we were out camping. I think he just enjoyed having some time to spend alone and to just take in the nature. Anyway, I got a good amount of firewood and sat back down at the camp, just wasting time until Ethan got back so I could start the fire. The sun got lower and lower, and eventually I just kind of realized it had been a strangely long time since he'd left. Usually he wasn't out this long, and he was experienced enough to know to not be wandering the woods so close to sunsets. The only way we had to keep in contact out here, where there's no service, is through our small satellite messengers. We kept them on us at all times in our small waste packs, along with bear spray and other stuff like that. It's usually more of an SOS device, but in situations like this, it came in handy too. I pulled mine out to send him a message, but saw that he'd already sent me one just a few minutes ago. Ethan said he got kind of lost, but happened to stumble back to the pond. I sent a message saying to just stay there and I'll hurry over to lead him back. Being lost, it's always best just to stay put and not risk getting any more lost, and both me and Ethan knew that. So, me knowing the area, I quickly started heading to the pond. At this point, it was really just a race against the sun. Even having headlamps and knowing the area during the day, it would still be really easy to get lost at night. I got about halfway to the pond, maybe 4 or 5 minutes away, when I got another message. I reached into my bag and checked it, assuming it was just going to be him checking in or asking for an ETA. But Ethan sent the words, "I see you." What did he mean, "I see you"? I wasn't even near the pond yet. I stopped and looked around, confused and not seeing him anywhere. I said I wasn't there yet and didn't see him. Slightly worried, I started moving faster, basically running to the pond. I got there quickly, running up to the tree line before the water. Ethan wasn't there. From where I was, I could see the whole tree line around the pond, and he wasn't anywhere around. I felt blood rush from my face and pulled the messenger back out. My last message saying that I didn't see him hadn't been opened. I called out his name, hearing my voice echo through the trees. The sun was nearly gone, and the forest was getting quieter and darker. Maybe he already started heading back, like he somehow remembered the way. I don't know why he would, but where else would he be? With the daylight practically gone, I knew it was safest for me to head back and figure things out from the camp. I didn't start the fire yet, so if I waited too long, I'd never be able to find the campsite in the dark. I began walking, feeling uneasy as I moved through the trees and felt the woods get darker and darker. All I could think about was the ominous last message he sent, "I see you." It was nearly pitch black by the time I was a minute or so from the clearing, but then I saw something. A flickering orange glow right from where the campsite was. As I got closer, I could see that the campfire was lit and someone was standing right by it. I started approaching, feeling a wave of relief knowing Ethan had made it back safely. But when I got closer, the person suddenly shifted and looked toward me, then sprinted away from the fire and out of the campsite. Heart pumping, I ran up, confused and terrified. That wasn't Ethan. I pulled my messenger back out and started spamming texts. At this point, I was seriously worried and disturbed by what was going on. But just a minute or so later, Ethan came running out of the woods and into the campsite. He had a face of both fear and relief. He immediately said we had to go. I agreed, mentioning the guy I saw by the fire, and him saying it was likely the same guy he saw approaching him by the pond. He said he thought it was me, until he got closer and realized it was someone else. Apparently then, Ethan tried asking if the guy knew how to get back to the trail, but the man didn't respond. He just kept walking forward, revealing a really unsettling smile across his face. And according to Ethan, something about him looked really off, like his face was uncanny. Something just wasn't normal about it. This sent him into a panic, where he just ran in the direction he thought was most likely toward the campsite, getting lost again, but eventually seeing the fire and going toward it. We packed and left. The hike back was unnerving to say the least, but we did manage to get to our car and leave. This event made me rethink back on the whole camping trip, remembering the movement we heard outside of our camp on the first night, and just putting all the pieces together. Likely, the man that was out there was watching us the whole time, waiting for one of us to be alone. Even just thinking about his presence outside of our campsite as we were talking, sleeping, and everything, completely unknown to us, is extremely disturbing. We still talk about that camping trip every now and again, but never plan to go back to those woods. I was taking a short getaway alone to an Airbnb about 6 hours away from where I lived. I didn't choose it for any reason in particular. I just opened the map on Airbnb and looked for something cheap and somewhat isolated in a smaller town, just so I could get out of the city and enjoy some quiet for a few days. I didn't actually care about how nice the town was, because I planned to be in the Airbnb pretty much the whole time. The house I booked was alone in a small forest inside of this really small town, and it was the only house listed on Airbnb for that whole area. The good price reeled me in, though. I made the drive, mostly through empty wooded roads, until I got to the house. I guess it was more of a cabin, though, if I'm being honest. It was older and surrounded by trees, with no other houses or buildings in sight. I opened the creaky front door and brought everything in. The only thing I needed to do before settling in for the next few days was go to the grocery store and stock up on some food and drinks. I drove into town. It was mid-afternoon, but there were almost no other cars or people out. Maybe it was just because I was from the city, but even for a small town like this, it felt like I was driving through a ghost town. And when I walked through the grocery store, it was just as empty. The few people I did pass by, though, gave me a strange, cold look, following me with their eyes as I passed by them. It almost felt like they all somehow knew that I wasn't from here, and they didn't like it. It was really weird. I got what I needed and headed back to the cabin. By then, I think I'd mostly decided that I was just being paranoid over nothing. There's no way those people actually cared who I was. I was just some random person in a grocery store. I shook it off and felt better knowing I wasn't going into town for the rest of the trip anyway. I unpacked and watched TV in the living room. That whole night and the next day was nice and quiet. That following night, though, it was pouring outside. A storm had rolled in and didn't seem like it was going to stop or slow down anytime soon. I was cozied up inside, of course, laying on the couch half asleep, when there was a knock at the door to the cabin. I shot up and looked at the door. There's no way someone was outside the house in the middle of this storm. I checked my phone and saw no texts or anything from the Airbnb host. It was also just that one knock at the door. After maybe 30 seconds, I got up and walked over. When I looked out, I didn't see anyone, although it was really dark and there was no porch light, so without opening the door, I couldn't make out all that much. As the minutes passed, my mind stumbled to every possibility that wasn't someone knocking at the door, like maybe the storm blowing something over, or even me dreaming it while being half asleep. I think I really just didn't want to believe someone was out there, because I knew how unsettling that would be. I laid back down on the couch and had the TV on, sort of paying half attention and just laying there. A decent amount of time went by. I wasn't keeping track, but if I had to guess, I'd say about an hour. The TV was fairly quiet, but the storm was still going on. Between those sounds, though, there was a sudden cough behind me, like a man quickly coughing and trying to cover the sound. I jolted my head back and looked, immediately seeing something move away from the outside of the window. I'd only caught a split second of it, not enough to even make out if it was a reflection or a figure, but obviously hearing the cough gave it away. Someone was outside the Airbnb. I knew they had to have been watching into the cabin through that window, which instantly sent chills through me. I grabbed my phone and dialed 911. Telling them I think I was being stalked and that someone was creeping around outside. The storm was too loud for me to hear any footsteps, so I had no idea if they ran away or were still around out there. I was relieved when a police officer showed up only 3 minutes later. I opened the door and started explaining what was going on, but the officer was visibly unbothered by anything. When I finished explaining, he just responded with, "That's it," as if it was no big deal. The officer didn't take down any notes or anything. He had that same cold look as everyone else in the town. He almost seemed mad at me, like he was genuinely upset for making him come out into the storm to help me. He said he didn't see anyone when he pulled in, so if something actually happens, then to call. Before I could say anything else, he turned his back on me and drove away. I honestly couldn't believe it. That made me feel even less safe and even more disturbed by whatever the hell was going on in this town. This whole town had me on edge, and knowing something wasn't right, I decided to call it early and just get out of there. I locked the door and started rushing to pack my things. I was only able to get my backpack opened and begin stuffing clothes into it, so like maybe 60 seconds went by after the officer left before heavy knocks slammed against the front door again. But this time, they didn't leave. They continued to bang on the door. I only checked out of the bedroom window, confirming the cop car was gone, so I knew this was whoever had been watching me. I hurried, packing everything I could in just 3 or 4 minutes. I thought about calling the cops again, but honestly, I felt like it would somehow only get me in trouble, or that the cop would somehow take the other guy's side even if he did catch them. But then they suddenly stopped knocking. The storm felt like it got increasingly louder. I couldn't hear if they left or not, so I quietly walked up to the door and looked out. I saw nothing. No one was out there. I knew I needed to leave whenever I had the chance, so I had my backpack on and my car keys ready. I was at the door for about a minute or so, before I just happened to glance back, and again, at that same window, I saw something move. I knew this was my only chance to make a run for it. I swung open the door and fled out of the cabin, into the storm. My heart was racing, knowing the person was probably running around the house to get to me. I got in my car, turned it on, and pulled out of the driveway. With the heavy downpour, I couldn't even see more than 10 feet ahead, so I don't know if they had chased me or not. They could have even been right behind me, running up to the car as I pulled away, and I wouldn't have been able to see them. I drove down the forested driveway until I got to the road, then left town and drove all the way home without stopping. That was the most unsettling and creepy experience of my life, and I think it's worse because I don't know why any of it was happening, or even who it was creeping around the cabin, watching me through the windows and banging on the door. I keep thinking about the weird feeling I got in that town, thinking maybe people knew that the cabin was an Airbnb, and them hating outsiders for some reason, they went to extreme measures to get rid of me. It almost gave me the feeling that I was in the middle of a town that was all part of a private cult or something. If I decided to stay that night, things might have escalated past the point of no return. Luckily, I didn't have to find out, though. This was just 7 or 8 months ago. My friend Josh was a buddy of mine that I'd been close friends with since senior year of college, so about 3 years at the time. We were really close that last year of college, but due to jobs and everything after college, I ended up moving to a city about 3 hours away from him. We hadn't seen each other since then, so well over a year, but we remained in contact and still really good friends, constantly staying up late gaming together and texting during the days. You know, regular stuff like that. But on a Thursday, kind of out of the blue, he called me, saying his girlfriend was gone for the weekend, and asking if I wanted to hang out and spend the weekend at his place. Weirdly, on the call, he sounded like he just woke up, or was really tired or something. But whatever, I had no plans that weekend, and hadn't had a chance to see him for a long time, so I said I'd be there. I spent that night packing, and on Friday morning, I drove down there. The drive took up most of my day, because I had to make a couple stops to pick up some drinks and whatnot, but at 4:30, I made it to his house. This place, Josh and his girlfriend, of 4 or 5 years, had rushed to buy right out of college. They both already had jobs and everything, and the house was super cheap. Old for sure, but cheap nonetheless. It was kinda trashy and out in the middle of nowhere, 30 minutes from the college we went to, not really in a neighborhood or anything. I went up and knocked on the door. Then knocked again. I think I was waiting outside for a whole 5 minutes before he finally answered the door and invited me in. Immediately, I noticed how different he looked. He had this really tired expression covering his face. He usually had a ton of energy, so this was kind of strange. I thought maybe he was just having an off day or something, though. We hung out and played some Xbox for a bit, and having a few drinks, mostly just catching up and hanging out like we used to. Still, Josh was noticeably a lot different than he was just a year ago, or even when we'd game online. In person, though, he acted like a completely different person altogether. Honestly, it kind of felt like he didn't even want to be hanging out with me. Again, I thought he had to have just been having an unusual day. I mean, we all have them. But as it got later, and before drinking too much, I threw it out there that maybe we should just hit the hay early. Go to bed now, so we could be re-energized for the whole day tomorrow. But through his droopy eyes and tired, gravelly voice, he said we should stay up tonight. It seemed like he was barely even able to stay awake, so this was getting really weird. And the more I said that we should just go to bed, the more pushy about it he got. I agreed to hang out for another 30-ish minutes, but during that time, it was really awkward. He was clearly too tired to even hold a conversation, so most of the time, we were just sitting there in silence, occasionally sipping on our beverages. It honestly felt really uncomfortable, like I wasn't even sitting in the same room as one of my friends. I wondered how this was even the same friend I once knew and hung out with all the time, and why was he only acting like this in person? I tried asking what he'd been up to, and how everything's been, but he avoided any questions like that. Eventually, I said I had to get some sleep, and even though he tried pushing me to stay up, I refused. I was pretty worried about him, and a little creeped out to be honest, but hoped things would be more normal tomorrow. I went into the spare bedroom to get ready for bed, but something was off about it. The whole room was empty. There was not a single thing in there, aside from the small bed against the wall. And just as strange, it looked brand new, like it was bought specifically for me coming over. By now, I was beginning to consider that I was overthinking everything. Still, I really just wanted to make sure Josh was okay, so I sent a text to his girlfriend. Like I said, they'd been together for 5 years, and we all hung out together a few times during college, but I didn't really know her that well. I only waited a couple of minutes before she responded. All I'd said was that Josh was acting a little weird and seemed out of it, so I asked if she noticed anything recently as well, or if she might have known why he was like this right now. She said that they've been broken up and that she'd moved out 4 months ago and had no idea what I was talking about. What? I was actually in shock. Why did he lie about her just being gone for the weekend? And why'd he have me come over so suddenly now, and not months ago? Things weren't adding up. It still didn't explain why he was acting so strange, and only made me feel like I couldn't trust him even more, making the whole thing more unsettling. Not wanting to sleep without getting answers, I turned back toward the door to leave the room, but froze in place. I could see a shadow standing right behind the door. After a second, he moved away. I felt my heart start racing a bit as I moved closer to the door and listened, then opened it, stepping into the hallway and closing the door behind me. I saw the door to his bedroom was open, and I could hear him moving around in there. All the lights in the house were off now, but right away, I noticed something on the backside of the door that wasn't there before. It was a mount, like one side screwed into the wall and the other into the door. He had to have just done this, probably hand screwing it in as I was in the room trying to figure out what was going on. I didn't want to be inside that house with him for another second. I started quickly and quietly walking away. As I got into the living room, I couldn't help but notice that there was something on the kitchen counter. It was an open package for a deadbolt. One of those locks you'd put on a door that you can only access from one side. I felt my stomach drop, then heard footsteps rushing behind me. I turned around and saw Josh, that same tired and dead look on his face. I asked what the hell he was trying to do, but he didn't respond. I felt a tension, like he was about to do something. Before he could, I ran to the front door. He called out my name a couple times in that eerie, tired voice, but I kept going, getting in my car and leaving. I spent that whole drive thinking and decompressing on what just happened. By the time I got home, Josh had blocked me on everything, which made me more sure that what he was doing was something awful. Though at the time, I didn't do anything about it. I was stupid, and I guess I felt since nothing yet had happened, I had nothing to show for it. And having been close to him for 3 years, it was hard for me to turn him in. I still just can't understand why he was trying to lock me inside that room though, or even what his plan really was. It's crazy how I'd known him for 3 years, and yet it feels like maybe I never really knew him. I'm just glad I got out of it when I did.